League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, DBs. A little announcement about today's episode, but first. Oh, wait. Hi, it's Ellen. Please don't fast forward. I swear I won't monologue. Maybe a little. As some of you may know, Joey's mom, Janet, softly passed this past week from her intense battle with pancreatic cancer. This was a journey that Joey kept private. I will let him explain further. I'm sure he'll go into it on a Swamp Talk very soon. I know he received an outpouring of love from so many of you, and he will respond in time. But as his best friend, I wanted to share what it meant to see all of the support and love that you all gave to Joey, because I have this microphone and I'm all by myself. Loss is a part of life. We all know this. What's been unexpected, but extraordinary over these years is hearing from so many of you who've said that in your darkest and saddest moments, we were with you, that our silly little show somehow gave you laughter when it felt like there was none left. I can't emphasize enough that we don't take these messages lightly. We talk about it all the time. You all sharing your stories with us has profoundly impacted us, and it stayed in our hearts. Joey and I both believe that laughter has a big place in grief. We always say we laugh so we don't cry. I mean, we cry too. On some of Joey's most heartbreaking days, when I didn't think he'd be able to work through his grief, he'd turn to me and say, "I just need to laugh. Let's record." And so we did. We'd sit down and do what we'd always done. We kept the show going this past year because it brought so many of you comfort, but you all didn't know that you were returning the favor. If our show plays a special part in your days or your lives, same. Thank you doesn't even seem like a strong enough word to explain our gratitude at this point. Thank you for all of your love and support this past week. I've read so many messages, DMs, comments, inquiring how they could help Joey. It was overwhelming in the best way. Well, what's the point of this pre-roll? Great question. I would love to tell you. Joey and I are from show business. The show must go on, we've always been told. Well, not today. We wanted to give Joey time this past week to be present with his family, so we'll be playing an episode from our archives. For those of you on the Patreon, you all know that we cover 10 episodes of Playboy Murders over there, so this is one of our episodes we brought out from the vault. We wanted you to have something for this week, and if you're on the Patreon, we definitely owe you one. We owe a debt of gratitude to our impeccable editors. They are our invisible third member of this circus. They have graciously helped us right after our hectic tour schedule last year and then going into this unpredictable time Joey had faced. Rick Kwan, Henry Lavoie, and Jeff Devine, thank you not only for your hilarity and your brilliance, but your compassion and understanding while we navigated everything during this time. Thank you. And of course, our Harris Klein. We joke a lot on social media about Big Mouth and Blue Eyes and our trials and running this show, but let's be honest, nothing happens without Harris. Joey and I have hectic lives, and Harris somehow keeps up with it all. She moves mountains behind the scenes, keeps us on track, shifts schedules, communicates with editors, solves chaos with grace. Maybe she's rolling her eyes, but that's okay. And she laughs right along with us. She's not only exceptional with a spreadsheet, but she understands our brains and works with empathy and humor. We love you, Harris. You still have chicken legs. So, my friends, whether you're a casual listener, a longtime subscriber, a day one patron, or even if you stumbled here by accident today, which, hey, also, sorry. Thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up. This episode is dedicated. Ooh. This episode is dedicated to Janet Taranto. Mother of four, lover of big laughs and hilarious stories, and of course, the inventor of the word ramps act. May you lay in peaceful rest. You're always a DB to us.
What a beautiful day in New York.
Is it? Well, I was about to say, you look all sporty, Spice. What's happening? You're wearing like a jersey.
Do you know what this jersey is?
I have no idea. I just see SOS in the corner, so I feel like it's a cry for help.
It's SZA merch.
Oh.
The singer SZA. It says SZA on the back. I know. It looks like I attended a hockey game, which might be nice for me because I could get all my rage out and be like, yeah, hockey puck him in the teeth or whatever it is. But no, this is actually gay merch masked as straight people merch.
Just real quick check-in. You're still gay.
Yep.
And I'm still a cunt.
Roll tape.
Hello, Damage Society. We're here. He's queer. Get used to it. We are continuing on with the madness and the mayhem and the Playboys.
This is a dark episode, dude.
Babe.
Darker than normal.
Do you think?
I don't know. It was a lot.
Can we have a chat real quickly?
Yes. What would you like to say to me?
Well, we need to be in private.
Okay, go ahead.
Can you guys just mute for a second just so we can have some privacy? You know we do true crime, right?
I do, but some of it is really fucking dark.
I feel like you're just probably in a place because, like, when you're like, we're trying to lighten the mood because it's really dark. Like, that's literally our job.
I hate to remind you this, but you've uttered those very same words on several episodes.
I want the receipts.
Show me the receipts!
Okay, I will do better.
We're good.
This is a very exciting episode that won't trigger you at all.
It's so fun. It's basically like pink colored crimes with naked people.
That is a damn lie.
That's how we're marketing this one.
Yeah, that's a lie.
Playboy Murders, Season 2, Episode 4, Horror in the Hamptons.
Melanie Haller, who is a beautiful girl with a beautiful body. She's an actress. She got to work with the greatest actor, John Travolta.
For Melanie, Playboy was the next step. This was, look at me, I'm glamorous, I'm sexy.
Unfortunately, what Melanie couldn't see at the time is that this would have tragic consequences.
There were a lot of darker things going on at the Playboy Mansion. Things being videotaped, sexual boundaries being pushed.
He was a hedonist on steroids, and anything that would satisfy his lust or his appetite at the moment was fair game.
What happened in the 80s, if it happened today, people would be in jail. I just don't know why no one warned her.
Today, we are discussing Melanie Haller, a 22-year-old woman who appeared in the March 1980 issue of Playboy. I was 1 month old. Ellen had just entered Shady Pines.
You've already told that joke.
It's a different variation on the joke. Just go with it. Do you know what the number one song was in March of 1980?
It's a yacht rock song, right?
Nope.
Oh, damn it. Is it I am a man who will fight for your honor?
No.
It must have been Staying Alive?
Staying Alive was in the 70s. This is 1980.
It must have been Love, but it's over now.
Honey, you took the DeLorean too far into the future. That was 1989, 1990, Pretty Woman.
Give me a hint.
I'll tell you this. Their lead singer was, look at me.
Gay. Gay.
Yeah, he was gay.
Was it something Queen?
Yes, it was.
Was it Bohemian Rhapsody?
No, that's the 70s. Hit it!
I never would have guessed that.
Big hit, big hit.
That's Queen?
That is Queen.
Being in Playboy in 1980 was really exciting. I think in Melanie's issue, Bo Derek was on the cover. There were all kinds of actresses who were posing. Some of the covers I remember were like Brooke Shields and Goldie Hawn, and you were getting these really big names.
Bo Derek was the only movie she ever did 10, and that was it?
No, didn't she do one of those Bond movies?
Oh.
I think she was a Bond girl.
Maybe she was.
You didn't do your research. Somebody put it in a review. These two don't research for anything. But honey, these covers are giving you big hair, bushy eyebrows, backlighting for days. You got Goldie Hawn in fishnets and a faux champagne glass. The 70s and 80s were wild.
They were, and times were a-changing because people were clubbing, shacking up, rejecting the idea of being married with two kids, a dog, and the white picket fence. The only white thing they wanted to be involved with was cocaine.
Still a Tenenbaum, who was from a couple episodes ago, she worked at the mansion for like 2 years, but she was really excited to be on this documentary. She's here with a lot of information that we could have easily Googled, but we're happy you're here, Stella. She says,
everybody was discoing and clubbing and partying.
Honestly, to me though, that sounds exhausting. I don't do cocaine. If I did, I feel like there would need to be some kind of an APB put out, but discoing sounds exhausting.
Listen, if I could get in that DeLorean and hop back to 1978 and go to Studio 54 for one night and blow some lines with Mick Jagger and Liza Minnelli and dance the night away, you better believe I would do it. So would you. I would force you to do it.
Sure, I'll give you one night, but the constant discoing. Have you ever done it? That fingers?
Oh, yeah.
Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
It's very aerobic. I'd need to wear a sports bra. So it's summer, y'all. We are smack dab in the middle of it. And all of a sudden, I look at all my clothes and I'm thinking, I need a refresh.
Baby, it is 90 degrees in LA today. And I went to go for a walk. I was looking through my clothes and I'm like, great, same tank, same shorts, same everything. So I'm giving myself an upgrade with Quince because their pieces are so easy. Also, they're elevated and stylish.
You all know I am done with fast fashion. I look for signature pieces that I'm going to wear multiple times in a season in different ways. You gotta think smart. You gotta think classic. I'm talking linen pants. Their European linen is second to none, and you all know that I love to price compare, and they have the best prices. And Quince is priced at 50 to 80% less than what you would find in similar brands. They work directly with top artisans. Quince is going to cut out the middleman, so you're not going to get the markup, but you're going to get the luxury.
Also, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. That means a lot to us. And I'm telling you, if you are sleeping on Quince's outer sportwear, you are missing out. I wear all of Quince to the gym. I'm a walking ad at the gym for Quince.
And I promise you, every time I go on their website, they have something new. Sunglasses, they got it. Bags, luggage, swimwear, accessories. Quince is like, Ellen, we see you there. Thanks, Quince. So treat your closet to a little summer glow up with Quince.
Go to quince.com/think for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/think to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quince.com/think. Seriously, Quince, what are we? Are we dating?
A little bit of information I didn't know. The original Playboy Mansion was in Chicago.
I think the headquarters were in Chicago, but the mansion was built in Los Angeles. And that's what eventually became Hef's home and party pad.
I love Chicago. I think I'm going to move to Chicago or at least have an apartment in Chicago. I love it there.
You are not moving to Chicago. It is fucking freezing. It's colder there than it is in New York.
Right. I'm not going to live there during the winter times. I'm going to live there during the summer times because I love it there.
Well, wonderful. You do that.
I love it. Everyone is so nice in Chicago.
Chicago is very clean. You know what's interesting is in Chicago when I was there, I was like, everyone is so separate. All the gays are in an area. All the Italians are in one area. All the black folks are in one area. Everybody is in their own neighborhoods. And I'm like, I'm in New York. It's like a melting pot. You can visit 12 nations just walking down one block.
I kind of sometimes feel like parts of San Francisco are like that. I don't know. I never noticed that about Chicago. I just know that the people at the CVS say hi and ask you how you are. And I find it very off-putting.
And to that, I say no, thank you.
Yeah.
Why do you want to know?
Who's asking?
Why are you asking? What do you want from me?
Who do you know that I know?
You just said hello to me. What do you want, a dollar?
Who asked you to ask me that question?
What do you know that I think I should know that I don't know, but you're trying to ask me so I could know?
What's the reasoning behind this questioning? I don't know if I like it. Tell me that and then I'll answer you how I'm doing. How about that?
You're making me nervous. I don't like the way you're looking at me right now. I don't like the way you're being friendly. It doesn't make me feel very friendly.
In the early 70s, Hef bought a property in Los Angeles and called it Playboy Mansion West, and that turned into his home and his hub for all the parties and all the things that would become legendary about the Playboy world.
This was a house when I first got it that sort of turned out to be a blessing because we were able to do something kind of special.
Tell them who we meet, Joey, and then I want you to tell me where you know her from.
We meet Gina Keogh. Her playmate name was Gina Tomasino. She was Miss November 1980. Now listen, I don't know where I know her from, but I will say she looks amazing for her age.
Y'all, this is Gina from Real Housewives of Orange County.
Stop.
What is happening? Gina is famous for...
Okay, first of all, it's none of your business. Do you understand me? Stay out of my life. Stay out of my life. Every time I turn around, you're going to the press.
Stand by me.
You what? Really? Okay. Here you go. No. This is a letter from my attorney. It's a letter of assistant deceased.
Don't give it to my attorney.
No. Here's your letter, bitch.
Touch me. I'll throw your skin ass in the field.
Show me.
Throw
me.
Don't touch my daughter. Okay, bitch.
Oh,
y'all, it is the famous Tamara Judge throwing the wine in Gina's face. Gina is here. She was a playmate. She was like one of the most unproblematic housewives. She was super boring, super rich. She's not on the show anymore. Her and Tamara have since made amends. They're totally fine. I can't believe she's here right now.
I'm sure this would all mean something to me if I watched any of the Real Housewives franchises, and I don't.
Why don't you like anything that I like except for...
You know what I love that you love?
What?
I love me. Very niche death becomes her reference. Gina says she remembers meeting Melanie Haller, who was a working actress, and she's like, she was a knockout and very talented. So then we get some backstory on Melanie.
Melanie was born in 1959 in New York City. She grew up around the arts and theater.
And that's where she got bit by the acting bug.
I hate it when people say that. You know I don't like creepy crawler critters.
I'm sorry.
It makes me feel like a mosquito, a bed bug.
Is everything okay over there?
Actually, no. Thank you for asking. We're 14 minutes into this recording, and that's the first time you've asked me. I'm dealing with some stuff.
See, them bunnies over there ain't helping at all.
Ticks are vicious, honestly. It's disgusting. It's really scary.
Yeah, look at Irene from Real World Seattle.
Oh my God. Also, Bella Hadid's mom, Yolanda.
Yolanda Hadid?
I think her name is Yolanda Foster, but she's not married to David Foster anymore because David Foster is married to Kat McPhee now.
Where are we? I have no idea what's happening. Anyway, Melanie started booking small roles in some movies, including the movie The French Connection when she was only 12 years old with Gene Hackman, a movie I've never heard of.
Okay, I'm so glad you said that because I immediately thought I was uncultured swine. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, that great hit French Connection that later became a clothing label. Okay, great. I am basic and stupid and I'm uncultured swine. I'm fine with it. On we blindly stumble.
Listen, I know the Love Connection, I know Connect Four. I don't know the French Connection. I'm very sorry. But tell them what her biggest role was.
A TV show called Welcome Back, Cotter.
Hit it!
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out.
Did you watch that show?
When I was a kid, I used to watch reruns on Nick at Night.
Oh, I never watched that show. Again, a TV show my dad would watch and I would sit there and pretend to watch just so I could spend quality time with my dad.
How'd that work out?
I was just wondering where that guy was. Yeah. No idea.
In the words of a famous 90s song, someday we'll know.
Welcome Back, Cotter was a sitcom in the 70s. It was about a teacher and a classroom full of colorful characters.
Welcome Back, Cotter was an extremely popular show, made even more popular with its star, John Travolta.
John Travolta in the 70s, nothing hotter.
Are you kidding me with John Travolta circa 1977 to 80? I rewatched Grease with Lola, as I mentioned on a recent episode. John Travolta was hotter than the bottom of my laptop. I do need a new laptop. But he was so good looking. He was gorgeous. Like, honey, you are the one that I want. Back then, he was chiseled, those eyebrows, those eyes. Who was hotter than him at that time?
Nobody. He had charisma.
Those eyes, that butt dimple chin, those lips. He was gorgeous.
He was dreamy, man. And you know what? It did not hurt that his star was on the rise at the time and Melanie was on a show with him. So I'm sure she looked at that and thought, man, if John's doing it, I could do it. She played Angie Grabowski and everyone watched the show because, as our friend Holly Madison says, back then in the 70s, there was only like three channels. So everyone was watching one of three channels.
She also then landed a movie about the hillside Suicide Strangler. And all of this fame and attention obviously got her some invites to the Playboy Mansion.
And that is where Hef spotted her and was like, I would love to put you in my magazine.
We have a new sponsor, and I am really excited. It is called Function Health. Okay, listen up. Joey and I chose Function because it is a health platform. In fact, the only health platform that's going to give you access to data. What kind of data? Great question. I would love to tell you. It's basically your data. It gives you access to all of the things going on in your body that we never get to see. And then you get to figure out how you can make your life, your health better. Inside Function, you get a chance to test over 160 biomarkers. We're talking your heart, your hormones, your toxins, your inflammation, your stress. I don't know about you, but growing old, I'm like, okay, what's going on? Am I okay in there? Knock, knock, knock. Is anyone home? That is what Function is. You get a 360 view on what is happening inside of your body. This is one of the most exciting things. It's like science, you all. And, you know, I know it's summertime, and summertime is super relaxing, but it can also be burnout because the days are longer, you're sleeping less because, you know, you're going out to your neighbor's house and having margaritas, and you're out in the sun. All of these things matter, and Function helps you find those little signals that your body is sending out that something might be wrong. And Function puts a name and a number to the things we can't see. You all, it is fascinating. There's so much going on inside your body. Science is wild. How are your vitamin D levels? How are your hormone levels? I know that I'm getting up there and I have no idea what's going on with all the pauses, the peri and the meno, all that stuff. So learn more and join by using our link. And the first 1,000 get $100 credit towards their membership. Visit www.functionhealth.com/ithinknot or use gift code ithinknot100 to sign up to your own health.
There's a lot of stuff going on in there. We gotta figure it out.
Now, they talk a lot about times changing and perceptions of sex and nudity were changing, but let's be real. It was still very risky to pose nude when you were a star on the rise. But Melanie was like, listen, I'm going to roll the dice because this may work out in my favor. And she said yes. Now, in every issue, Playboy has two types of centerfolds, right? The newly discovered sort of star on the rise, the star to be.
NYC!
Just got here this morning.
$3. Two bags. One me.
That was a very niche Annie reference.
Only in the musical, not in the movie.
Yeah, I think they realize in the movie there's no point for this. And the newly discovered playmate, that was usually playmate of the month. And then there was always a celebrity. So when it came to Melanie, her spread was giving very much movie star.
And her spread was entitled Welcome Back Holler. Not like holla, but
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I mean, yeah. It's okay.
Melanie spent a few weeks at the mansion, but I don't think that this lifestyle was really for Melanie. The Playboy lifestyle was one at the time of parties, wild parties, and these were drug-fueled parties, and there was a lot of sex going on.
What happened in the 80s, if it happened today, those people would be in jail. People don't put up with it anymore.
Baby, before the time of cell phones, gather around the campfire, children. In the olden days, when we would hang out in groups, instead of staring into our virtual world of our smartphones, we talked to each other, children, or we would debate art and literature. And if anyone said anything awful or homophobic or racist or misogynistic, it didn't end up on the tiki-talkers. No, children, it was folklore. It was urban legend, a myth, because our actions had no consequences, because there were no cameras.
Well, actually,
it's so true. The shit that they were able to get away with.
It was the Wild Wild West of morals, is what it was back then. But I will say, these parties, there was like a darker underbelly to them that started to emerge, including Hef installing cameras. There were recordings of some of these parties and the events that happened. A lot of drugs, lots of partying. And someone described people as being promiscuous, and I really hate that term because it implies that someone's doing something wrong. I'm like, let people live their lives. If you're not hurting yourself or putting other people in danger, I'm okay.
Well, I feel like there was a little bit of assault, drugs, doping people up. I don't always think the sex was most likely consensual.
Yeah.
That's how the French say it.
Oui, oui.
No, I just need to pat on my nose.
Oui, oui, madame. I am frightened of the dark. Gina then goes on to tell us a story.
I'm sitting at the dining room table with six girls, and one says to me, hey, I don't want to sleep with Hef. Do you think I can be a centerfold if I don't sleep with him? And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. Just tell him you have a boyfriend or you're engaged, or you don't have to sleep with him. He sleeps with 11 other girls. You don't have to sleep with him. A few minutes later, Gina, Mr. Hefner would like to see you.
Hef calls her in for a little private meeting and basically tells Gina, don't you ever fucking tell a woman that she doesn't have to sleep with me to get a centerfold. She does, or she has no chance. Also, she wants me to fuck her. She's just playing hard to get. And Gina was like, wait, what is happening? And he pushes play and he plays back the whole conversation she just had. And Gina was like, the fuck? This guy has this whole place tapped.
I will never understand wanting to have sex with someone who is not interested in you. I get it. For some people, it's a power trip and they get off on it. That is a frame of mind that I do not understand. I think it's sick. Melanie ended up leaving the mansion after a few weeks of partying there, and she's like, I'm gonna go back to New York City and live with my mom.
Dennis McDougall is here, and he is a former LA Times journalist. I think that the LA Times started back when Jesus was on this earth because Dennis has seen some shit.
Yep.
It's written all over his face, his clothes, his hair, and I think he's wearing the same shirt that he wore when he met Jesus. Dennis needs a shit shower and a shave.
I think Dennis has a little bit of mold on his collar.
He has some food he saved from last Tuesday's brunch that he had with his old friend George Burns. They were toddlers together.
Dennis McDougal is wearing the same suit he wore when he was an extra in the Thriller video.
He's like, I actually wore this shirt when I signed the Declaration of Independence. I was the last one. I got cut off on the bottom a little bit, but I was there.
He's like, I remember when Mary Magdalene was just known as Sheila.
And that woman was a let me tell you. Not these two calling the Virgin Mary a
Melanie was that woman, that young girl who decided she wanted to become a star. And arguably, she was well on the road.
Shortly after Melanie arrives back to New York, Melanie was introduced to Roy Radin by a photographer friend of hers by the name of Ron Sisman. Roy Radin was a showbiz producer and kind of an agent of sorts.
A couple friends of hers were like, you gotta meet Roy Radin. He's a great connection. He'll get you tons of work. He knows everybody. He comes from a showbiz family. His dad worked on Broadway. He's kind of a P.T. Barnum guy, see? He sort of got these oddity shows. You gotta meet him.
Put a pin in that for a second, because we meet this man.
My name's Anthony Hayden Guest. I describe myself as a writer, reporter, and cartoonist.
Oh, do you now? I describe myself as a homo, a digidua, and a ligator. This man literally popped by for 2 seconds and we never see him again.
I just don't understand. Also, can we go back to the guy who had oddity shows, but he was like a millionaire?
Yeah, Roy Radin's father owned a bunch of very posh VIP celebrity clubs in and around Manhattan through the 1930s to the 1950s. And Roy saw how his father rubbed elbows with the elite and made a fortune off of it. And he aspired to be like his dad. But he also was just a strange guy. Vaudeville was long gone, but he kept his own vaudeville act going, which they describe as animal and human oddities. That's their term. But it was very successful, and he was like really rich before he even turned 30.
He was not a stranger to the dark, hide away, they say, because they don't want your broken parts.
I've never seen The Greatest Showman.
I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us. We are glorious.
Is this the bearded lady bit?
When the shine is worse, wanna cut me down. down. Okay,
No.
All right, I'm fine. Anyway. But Roy Raiden didn't want to be in that business anymore. No. He wanted to be in the business of show, in the movie business. And he, too, had a big mansion slash sex dungeon that he called Ocean Castle. And this was in the Hamptons. Do you know the only thing I think about when I hear the Hamptons? The first thing, if anyone says the Hamptons.
Sex in the City.
No. You know, they'll arrest you if you wear white pants after Labor Day.
It's a mean, nasty Republican town.
It's a mean, nasty Republican town.
Y'all, that's a Grey Gardens reference.
That's a great movie.
It's an excellent movie.
In the 1980s, you could find many rich and powerful people in the entertainment industry having their own mansions where they would have their own decadent parties. And for the East Coast, the Hamptons was a very sought-after place to go.
Roy Raiden certainly knew of Hefner and the Playboy Mansion in Los Angeles. And you could make a good case for his trying to turn the Ocean Castle into Playboy Mansion East.
At this time, Melanie started dating a businessman named Bob McKeige. He was like a party man, lots of money, fast cars. The man lived hard.
This man looks like an 80s businessman, or what you would think an 80s businessman would most certainly look like. He looks like a scary man in a suit with Ted Bundy glasses. I don't like him. I don't like him at all. Someone help me. Let me out.
This man looks like a high school science teacher who gets a boner when you mention the periodic table.
And he's probably 28 and he looks like he's pushing 50.
True.
Retinol is your friend, everyone. Joey, guess who's back?
Ooh.
The cat allergen neutralizing spray, Packagen.
Did you know that over 100 million Americans suffer from allergies every year?
That's a lot of Americans.
And 48% of allergy sufferers have avoided social gatherings due to their allergies. That's crazy. I can't let my allergies keep me from going to raves on the weekends, okay?
I just avoid social situations because, you know, people. Here's what I didn't know about cat allergies. Cats are constantly cleaning themselves, right? With their tongue. Kind of gross when you think about it. But did you know that the saliva is the main source of the allergens that trigger the cat allergies? So your cat is clean, and that's great, and now it's covered in allergens to spread all around your home. Gross.
So what's so great about Packagen's cat allergen neutralizing spray? Try saying that 10 times fast. It targets the allergens around your home that can upset your cat's allergies, and it breaks them down so you and your family can live and breathe in peace.
Now here's some science stuff. Packagen uses a patent-pending whisker block protein to bind to and neutralize all of the allergens in your home. There is no harsh chemicals, no side effects. So let me tell you what I did. I just took the Packagen spray, I sprayed it on my couch, I sprayed it on my bed, I sprayed it on my carpets, and I did it every few days just to keep the allergens at bay. And when my sweet, very cute cat allergy friend came over, he noticed a huge difference. Honestly, I should have videoed his reaction when he was like, oh, I can totally breathe. What's going on? Packagen.
Y'all, Packagen is amazing. We love it, and you will too. And they believe in their product so much, they offer a 30-day money-back guarantee so you can try their cat allergen neutralizing spray risk-free. Love that.
Your pets aren't just your pets, they're your family. We get it. So get the relief you need with Packagen. Head to packagen.com/think and use promo code THINK for 15% off your order plus an exclusive gift for our listeners at checkout. That's packagen.com/think for 15% off plus an exclusive gift. Make sure you use our promo code THINK. One last time, that's packagen.com/think and promo code THINK. Your kitties are cute, but they're giving you stuffy noses. Joey, guess what?
What?
My favorite antibacterial, hypoallergenic, mulberry silk pillowcases from Blissy are back.
Did you know that cotton pillowcases suck up all the moisture from your face? Okay, not literally, but all of that skincare that you're doing at night, you're losing a ton of it to your cotton pillowcase. And that's why Blissy's silk pillowcases are amazing, because it lets your skincare do its job. And as a benefit, you see less fine lines and healthier hair in weeks.
And it is clinically proven to not clog pores, unlike cotton. Clinically! Because silk fibers are naturally hydrating. They're gonna keep that skin moisturized all night. Also, they have 70 colors. They even have new wicked pillowcases. Your sleep could be unlimited.
Okay, we're not doing this today. Also, Blissey makes for a great gift. In fact, it was voted the most loved gift of 2024, with over 3 million sold.
So because you're a listener, Blissey is offering 60 nights risk-free plus an additional 30% off when you shop at blissey.com/ithinknotpod.
That's blissy.com/ithinknotpod and use code ithinknotpod to get an additional 30% off.
Your skin and hair will thank you. Can I sing the rest of the score of Wicked now?
blissy.com/ithinknotpod.
Ocean Castle was a nonstop party, but like network partying. It was always executives, casting people, actors, actresses. People were going out to party and meet people. Everyone who was in the entertainment business or in the media was invited. And there was some shit that went on at that place.
That's when someone describes Roy as the Harvey Weinstein of his era. And my God, do I hate the sound of that. And I don't like where this is going.
Harvey Weinstein was not a pioneer.
Of course not. He hosted these very drug-fueled parties, a lot of psychedelics, a lot of wild sex. But also, Roy had a penchant for filming these sex acts. He had a casting couch set up in his home where he would proposition young women in the entertainment industry, people who were trying to make it as a star, and he would have sex with them on camera. But also, Roy had a very dark side. This really disturbed me. It was rumored that he owned snuff videos, which, for those of you who don't know, are videos of actual murders.
That's kind of some next level scary shit, for sure. So it's April 13th, 1980. Melanie and her boyfriend Bob were going to go spend the weekend at Roy Radin's house, the way everybody would spend a typical weekend. Psychedelics, sex, drugs.
Melanie thought this party would be a great networking opportunity, so she brought along a portfolio of some of her work, including her Playboy pictorial.
What she expected was that there'd be some socializing, but it was supposed to be an opportunity for her to show Radin her portfolio. What Melanie had expected was nothing like what actually happened.
It dawned on her very quickly that Roy was not interested in networking with her. This man proceeded to pummel her with drugs and alcohol until she was totally out of it. I have been in situations where I was made to feel very uncomfortable by men in positions of power, mm-hmm. and have had to find unique ways of excusing myself. It's not fucking fun. And this business can be very dark, especially for young women, and especially during these times where so much was hidden. It was easier to hide your, for lack of a better word, crimes.
Right.
In the case of Roy Radin, not only was he a slime ball, but he was very dangerous. At one point at the party, two women, one being Roy Radin's fiance, Tony Follette, brings out bondage gear, which, let me tell you, bondage is a very legitimate kink. It's totally fine and fun, but there has to be so much trust there because it is so vulnerable and it's not the kind of thing you want to do with strangers.
Right. But here's the thing. Roy was pumping Melanie full of drugs and booze, so she didn't really have the wherewithal to consent either way. She was pretty much out of it.
At one point, Melanie's boyfriend, Bob, tried to tie Melanie up, and Roy brought his video camera out, set it up on a tripod, and he began filming, and Melanie freaked out. She was very uncomfortable, and even though she was so out of it, she began fighting back hard, saying no, and she ended up accidentally breaking Roy's video camera, and that made him furious.
Needless to say, that sent him into some kind of rage. And because of this rage, Radin and her boyfriend Bob started assaulting Melanie.
And at that point, Roy, Melanie's boyfriend Bob, and the two women began physically and sexually assaulting Melanie.
And after the attack, Melanie's boyfriend called Melanie's mother and basically said, "Hey, Melanie's at my friend's house for the weekend. She's completely incoherent. And we need to get her out of here. She needs to find a way home."
So Myra pleaded with Radin to please send her home in a limousine.
But Raiden said no, claiming that the $60 price tag was simply too high.
So these two fucking twat tacos basically throw her on the train that's headed towards New York City, and they basically wash their dirty fucking hands of her.
They just dumped her on the LIRR. Like, what? And so we meet retired Suffolk County police officer Lee Roman, who was working in West Hampton at the time. He gets a call at the station from the Brookhaven Hospital, and they say, we have a woman here who has been brutally assaulted. And so the police arrive, and immediately they recognize this is Melanie Haller, and she was in terrible shape, but she was alive.
They basically were like, by some grace of God, she is alive. She had bruises on her arms and her face. And of course, they're trying to get as much information out of her, asking what was wrong. And she just was in no shape to give any information. She was getting upset. And the nurse really nicely asked, can you guys just come back another time and she'll be able to talk and she won't be so upset and emotional?
The only piece of information she was able to give them was that she was at Roy Raiden's home, and they knew it well.
Well, that's because Roy Raiden, like a lot of white men with power, had a very good relationship with the police, because the police are not above being bought, not then, not now, not ever. He was like, yeah, go ahead, call the police. The police are my pals. You know what? I'll call them. I have their number on my landline, the rotary kind that goes around, but still, I have their number. They're all in his back pocket. This man's not scared of anything. Repercussions, jail time, cops, none of it.
We come back on Monday to talk to Melanie Haller sometime in the morning. And at that point, she looked pretty good. And she told us at that time that she was assaulted and said she was also raped. And she said that she was in Roy Raiden's master bedroom. And there was a video camera on a tripod at the foot of the bed.
That information was enough to get a search warrant for Roy Raiden's home. So they went to that shit castle or whatever it's called with a search warrant. They see Roy there, and Roy is gooped and gagged that they're even here. He was like listing off all the people he knows. He's like, I know Frank Sinatra and Ed McMahon. He's like calling all of his friends on his phone. It's giving very, do you know who my father is?
And then he starts calling his contacts at all the different police stations. And basically they're like, our hands are kind of tied. So no one can help him. Let me tell y'all, when they say that this place was a castle, they're not joking. It's 72 rooms. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of ground to cover.
A lot of rooms. In their search, they found what they were looking for. They found the drugs. They found the revolver.
Bob McKeage was there. He was in the living room with everybody else. He was very quiet. He looked like a school teacher. They said he didn't know Melanie Haller. Never saw her. Didn't even know she was there. Had nothing to do with her.
The cop, I love his accent. Don't know her. Never saw her. They're like, really? You don't know your girlfriend? He's like, no, I have no idea. Then they find the room that the assault took place in, and we see an actual police photo of the room, which looks like a disgusting porn was shot in there. But did you see what else was in there?
No.
Tabs.
My grandmother drank Tabs.
Just two Tabs, clear as day. Do you know when Tab was discontinued?
No.
2020.
You could still buy them for a long time.
Yeah.
There was a lady I did a workshop with of a musical, and she would special order them.
2020, they stopped making it. If you would have told me it was 1975, I would have given you 1975, 1980 tops.
Wow.
Discontinued 2020. Anyway, they take everything they can. They try and get all the information, and they try and take the camera to get anything of substance or any kind of information that it had on it. Joey, I gotta tell you something.
What?
I love cooking.
Lies.
I love meal prepping.
More lies.
I love being in my kitchen for hours on end and perfecting the perfect recipe.
Liza Minnelli lies.
Okay, whatever. I use Hungry Root. You all, I do not have time to be sitting in the kitchen all day. And Hungry Root takes the stress out of mealtime. They're gonna plan my meals for an entire week. They're gonna tailor it to my tastes, and the options are limitless. And best
best of all, they take about 15 minutes or less to make. That is my kind of meal.
And whether you're gluten-free, dairy-free, if you're looking for a high-protein meal, or you're focused on gut health, just about anything you're looking for in your meals, Hungry Root helps you stay on track. All you do is you just take a quick little quiz. Don't worry, you can't fail. And their smart cart technology builds a weekly menu that fits your individual needs. It's like having a personal meal planner who just gets it.
Also, I don't know about you, I tend to eat a little unhealthy when I'm really busy. I'll get takeout or I'll get fast food or anything to make my life easier. Hungry Root, they hold their ingredients to a really high standard. They avoid over 200 additives like high fructose corn syrup, preservatives, artificial sweeteners, all things that you're gonna find in all those quick processed foods. So the 15 minutes is definitely worth it.
So right now, my goal is to get about 200 grams of protein in a day. That's right, 200 grams.
That's a lot of protein.
And Hungry Root is like, oh, you need protein? We got you, bro. And not only will we get you your protein, we're gonna save you time so you can spend more time on TikTok. Don't judge me.
If you're looking for protein, you gotta try the salmon. That's all I'm saying. Take advantage of this exclusive offer.
For a limited time, get 40% off your first box, plus get a free item in every box for life.
Go to hungryroot.com/ithinknot and use code ithinknot.
That's hungryroot.com/ithinknot, code ithinknot, to get 40% off your first box and a free item of your choice for life.
hungryroot.com/ithinknot, code ithinknot, for the people who love to cook, but kinda don't.
Can we get that copyrighted?
Now, there were rumors that someone in one of the police departments had given Roy a heads up about this raid, because when the police went to review the footage, it had been erased, which means that he probably did get a heads up and he was like, let me get rid of the evidence. However, they didn't do a great job because there were two frames left on that videotape.
Idiot.
And in one of those frames, you see Bob clear as day. Can I just ask you, were those reenactment? That wasn't original footage, right?
Oh, no, that was reenactment. Yeah.
Okay. Sure. I could not tell.
They do a very good job on this show. Let me tell you.
They do a very good job.
It's no Who the Bleep Did I Marry? I'll tell you that.
Well, I felt really like I shouldn't be watching this. I shouldn't be seeing this.
Remember on Killer Siblings, they like remade the footage. I think the footage is just a little too dark to show.
Even seeing pictures of the crime scene was a lot. But Detective Roman was like, gotcha, Bob. You were there. You lied to us. We know you know her. We know you were there last night.
We arrested Roy Raiden. We arrested Tony Fillet, his girlfriend, and we arrested Bob McKeege for assault.
They keep showing this picture of Roy Raiden. This man is aesthetically blasphemous. This man, I can smell him through the pictures.
Yes.
He is so disgusting. He's like wormy.
Yes.
He looks like a guy that you would move away from on the subway. He is so creepy looking.
He looks like a cousin of Vincent Price that was a little too attached to his taxidermy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He looks like somebody who eats a sandwich and gets it stuck in his beard and leaves it there.
He looks like somebody who exfoliates his face with like Life cereal.
Yeah. He looks like somebody who brushes his teeth, but just the top ones.
He looks like a man whose idea of a nice, well-balanced meal is his toenail clippings.
Oh!
Disgusting.
He looks like a man who, when he runs out of floss, he just pulls a piece of his hair. He's like, got it. Ah.
Oh, God, that is okay. Well, now we're all going to throw up collectively. So immediately this story is national headline news. Roy puts out a statement that everything that happened that night was consensual and that no one assaulted Melanie. This piece of shit lies and says, oh, she slipped and fell on the stairs, which accounts for her injuries.
The Gloria Satterfield of it all. And in true fucking 1980s fashion, they went straight to the victim blaming. What was she wearing? She was complicit. She had to have been part of it. She was on drugs. She was partying. What do you expect? So typical, so expected.
They were like, look, you can even see her nude. Her issue of Playboy is on the stands as we speak.
Clearly she's a slut. Look at her tig old bitties. Look at that slutty slut.
The videotape pointed a lot of fingers that she was there partying on her own free will until the fight broke out. So the DA didn't want to pursue a rape charge.
Didn't matter about the bruises on her body or her face or her story or being found half dead on the LIRR. Nope, none of it mattered.
But Bob McKeige was convicted of assault and he served quite a bit of time.
30 days.
No time at all.
30 days in prison. That's not even like a season.
No.
Love is Blind lasted longer than 30 days. 30 days? I've left my trash for longer in my fucking house. 30 days?
It's just a terrible message to send because what you are saying is that you can assault people.
Women.
Yep. And you'll get a slap on the wrist.
Now, that was really embarrassing. But the good news is, Roy, on the other hand, I didn't mean good news. He wasn't convicted at all. Because those women took off their clothes.
Yeah.
In Playboy, so it doesn't matter.
She was 22 and stupid and on drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
So she had it coming. I will never understand that idea. I will never understand it. What he was convicted of was possession of an illegal firearm, cocaine, and LSD.
And the good news is he served time for that.
A lot of time, actually.
Just kidding. He just paid a fine. But it was a lofty fine. It wasn't, yeah. That was a lot of money. That probably made a dent.
Huge amounts of money.
$1,000.
That's the price. That's the price you pay.
Because nobody believes women and they're expendable. Women who take off their clothes, we don't believe them and nothing has changed. Good night, everybody. Thank you for coming to our comedy podcast.
The world is still on fire. I can only imagine how Melanie felt not getting the justice that she deserved. However, I think there must have been some consolation in the fact that Roy had to leave New York. His reputation was ruined, his business was ruined, and he had a raging coke addiction. No one wanted to deal with him anymore. He ended up leaving New York and moving to Hollywood because his reputation was still okay over there. And his goal was to break into movies because that's what we need. More coke-addicted assholes who assault women in Hollywood.
Please, there's such a shortage of those.
A woman who was married to a major cocaine trafficker did not get on well with Raiden. Her action was to give the order to kill Roy Raiden.
And he was murdered.
And that was literally the end of the road for Roy Raiden.
Melanie went on to live a really private life. Nobody really knows much about her. And that was the end of the episode.
Her attackers got away with a slap on the wrist. It's really infuriating. And let me just say, the media did not help. I want to read you an article that I found that was released shortly after this assault happened. And it's entitled, "Melanie's New Life," in quotations, "Agent Signs Her." Don't cry for the career of actress Melanie Haller, who claims she was beaten and raped on a wild weekend at producer Roy Raiden's Southampton estate last summer. Little Melanie is doing very well, thank you. And with super promoter Jay Bernstein behind her, she may explode into a hot new star on screen. Melanie, 23, seemed to disappear after the headlines faded, but on the advice of a doctor, she fled this wild and crazy Big Apple for the peace and solitude of Beverly Hills. There, she tends a tiny pad and has been taking singing, dancing, and acting lessons, according to her mom, Mira. She's living a very secluded life by her own choice, mom told our Sal Arena. She doesn't go to parties or disco. She's taking therapy. Her doctor told her that her nightmares about the incident at Raiden's house will stick with her for the rest of her life, but he told Melanie she must look to the future. She would be grateful for a new lease on life. With Bernstein's help, Melanie signed contracts for TV and movie work with Warner Brothers. She's also testing for a role in a movie called Greta about you-know-who. Also, this is to be announced by Bernstein next week in Hollywood. It could be a production because, you may recall, mastermind Bernstein is the man who brought you people like Farrah Fawcett and Cheryl Ladd. After that, Melanie is due back here to testify in a civil suit she brought against Raiden in Brooklyn federal court. And the picture that they show of her is just like a candid picture of her at an event and her face is like a deer caught in headlights.
Mm-hmm.
But little Melanie, who claims she was beaten and raped by a man. And it's just those small little things, that rhetoric that is like, look at this little girl. You didn't like the life that you chose.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't like that you posed for Playboy and you put yourself in a precarious situation. It's like,
what were you wearing?
It's really disgusting the way that they talked about these people who lived and survived through horrific, traumatic events. It's really awful.
Raiden sort of got what was coming to him because I looked up what exactly happened. And on May 12th, 1983 at 7 p.m., he was getting into a limo with Karen Greenberger, who was this person that ordered his death. And he wasn't found till about a month later.
Holy fuck.
In a creek bed about 60 miles outside of LA. And his body was decomposed. He had been there for a month. And they said his head was, quote, peppered with gunshot wounds.
Wow.
And that's really graphic. That's like more graphic than we ever really talk about, but he's a piece of shit. Karen Greenberger and her cohorts were actually not charged until 8 years after his body was found because they couldn't put two and two together and they thought it was a cold case until the very end. And then Karen Greenberger, three bodyguards, all were found guilty of murder and kidnapping. There was a man named William Menser, Alex Marty, and Robert Lowe. They all got life sentences without the possibility of parole for the murder of Roy Radin.
I wonder why they murdered him. Like, I wonder if she knew about the story and she was just like, I'm a powerful woman, I can make this happen.
No, it all circulated around the making of the movie The Cotton Club. You know that movie?
No.
They were all producers on that movie and he was just being shady and he was pulling shady business and Karen was really connected and she was sort of mobbed up and she ordered his killing. I mean, he just did exactly what he did in New York to like the wrong people in LA. And they really almost got away with it, like actually could have been on the show. It was pretty much a cold case. And then they put a bunch of leads together and found out who finally killed him.
Wow.
It's really dark. You know that like dark, seedy underbelly of even like high Hollywood, you know, like Marilyn Monroe conspiracy theory shit. Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh, say something funny.
I'm not going to say it. This episode was dark. And when it gets like this, the only thing I know to do is sing. Can I just tell you what the number one song of 1980 was?
Great song. We should sing that at karaoke. We should have karaoke. When can we do karaoke?
Roll the music.
I just wanna do some karaoke. What's so wrong with karaoke?
We're not doing karaoke.
We love you. Love you, Joey.
I love you too, Yellen Marsh.
And I love you, dumb bitches.
Love y'all.
Bye.
I'm not doing karaoke.
Titties, ass, ass and titties, drugs, sex, ass and titties, ass and titties, titties. That's it. Now, Dennis McDougal is here. He's a former...
McDougal?
Isn't that his name?
I thought it was McDougal.
I mean, it's spelled M-C Doug All.
McDougal.
Like, how would you read my name?
Eileen.
Well, how do you say the name Lynn?
Eileen.
How do you say the name Lynn?
Ellen.
L-Y-N-N. So actually, the way I spell my name makes more sense.
So tell them more about Dennis McDougal.
So Dennis McDougal.
Yeah, I don't know
Hold
how
on
this
one
man.
Second. Shut up! Are you dying? Do you hear that cat screaming?
Those cats are lucky.
Why?
Those are some lucky cats. This is what you did. Hold on.
Shut up! Are you dying?
I don't know who's luckier, your cats or your neighbors. I'm not sure. It's a toss-up. It's
Sandy,
a toss-up.
Sandy, are you in your office? I hate my cats.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.